Welcome to the Top Gear Magazine podcast, a peek behind the curtain of what it's really like to drive other people's cars for a living. These are the stories behind the stories. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the podcast. We have in the studio myself, Jack Ricks. We have Rowan Horncastle.
Hello.
And we have Ollie Q.
Hello.
Hello. And today we're going to be delving into the Top Gear archive to pull out another story from the past and basically recall what we can remember about it. This is a good one, though.
I can't really remember it. And I was there.
You were there. So Rowan was there.
I was back in the office. Glad I wasn't there.
So this was a trip to India, which is always an assault on the senses, wherever you go and whatever you do. But in this particular instance, we sort of brought it on ourselves because this was the magnificently headlined feature, Bombay Bad Boy. And if anyone's familiar with the king of snacks, the pot noodle, that's where that is inspired from.
But also it was to go and drive India's supercar, which we'd seen on the internet for a while, but not going to India very regularly, hadn't driven one. But we managed to get hold of the DC Avanti.
Exactly.
Which is Bugatti's IP department's kind of dream.
Worst nightmare.
Yeah, or nightmare, depending if they want to make get a payout or not. It's India's Bugatti, basically. Chiron, Veyron, melted thing.
It certainly looks like one. I'm looking at basically a two-tone, mostly black with orange detailing mid-engine supercar.
Oh, it's definitely Bugatti Veyron Super Sport inspired livery, the one that we had black on orange. But yes, I guarantee there are a lot of listeners here going, India's supercar? What?
Oh, I'd never heard of it until I read this story. So yeah where did this thing born from?
So yeah, as Ro says, the DC Avanti. It was a car, it's off sale now. So this was back in 2018, so 5 years ago when we went and did this. So it was made by a company called DC Design. As best as I can remember, they're more famous for producing concept cars and prototypes for other car companies, design services, sort of an Indian design house, if you like. Pin India Farina.
Oh, very
good. Came up with that one in the shower this morning. Pretty good. So run by a guy called Dilip Chabria, who's the designer and the founder. And he wanted to create a supercar for India. So not just any old supercar that he could make a ton of money selling around the world. I think they did in the end export a few of them. They probably only built several hundred of these in the end. But it was specifically designed for the Indian market. And that dictated several design constraints.
Parameters
is a very good way to see. It needed to look mad because it's a supercar. It needed to be mid-engine because supercar.
Needed air conditioning.
It needed air conditioning because hot. But also ride height. Ride height because India's roads, as anyone who's driven there and survived will know, are absolutely shocking. So ride height in order to survive all the jacuzzi sized potholes, and also sturdiness because of the aforementioned problem as well.
So hang on, 2018, sturdy lifted supercar. This thing's sounding pretty ahead of its time. It's sounding like the Lamborghini Huracan Sturato or a Porsche 911 Dakar.
Exactly. I mean, it's not so overtly off-road in terms of it doesn't have knobbly tires or kind of cladding all over it. It literally just is a mid-engine supercar that happens to have significant ride height.
So how tall is it?
So roof height, I think it's 1200 mil, which is basically only 30 mil, 3 centimetres taller than a Lamborghini Huracan.
So it's still hip slow then.
Oh,
it's
down
by your knees.
But the ride height is 170 mil, which is about 3 centimetres less than a Jaguar E-Pace SUV.
Basically, they've brought the sill up and the roof, so it's not like squishing down a sandwich, is that you actually then have less compartments go off. You've got more ride height to go over all the crap. Bumps and road surfaces.
Low
car, something's got to give.
High ride heights, Where does the human go in the middle?
Well, it sort of squashes itself.
It's the kind of filling
in the sandwich. So I'm 5'8", 5'9", depending on who's asking. And my head was rubbing on the headliner.
And I'm taller than Jack. Not that I like to make a point of that.
What were you doing?
I think I was strapped to the roof. No, I was inside sweating quite heavily because it was a very, very, very hot day. I remember that. Yeah. And, it is India's supercar because everyone, when you're used to seeing rickshaws every day and battered old taxis and cars, we were in Pune, India, which is basically like their Detroit, it felt like, because it's kind of motor hub, but also like India's main cities, incredibly congested, very noisy, very busy.
For home to 4 million people.
And also, not one of them knows where they're going or what they're doing, and they're all driving in every direction possible. So they're all tooting their horns, which is stressful for in itself. And then you get in something which out there is a Bugatti to them.
I reread the story last night to refresh my memory, but I now remember this guy like running into the middle of the road, which in itself is fairly dangerous, pointing at us and yelling Bugatti at the top of his voice. And I mean, Dilip, the founder of DC Design, would be delighted with that because that's clearly what he was trying to go for with the design. But no, it's not a Bugatti man, shouty man in the middle of the road.
For the purpose of our lawyers, it's not a Bugatti.
It's a homegrown supercar, mate.
So is there the same sense of national pride in this as if you would drive a Ferrari through Rome? Is it that sense that you are basically driving around in the Taj Mahal?
No, because no one knew what it was. You know what? That's a very good point. So let's get to that bit. When we get to the market part of this story, right, I will answer that question in detail. But
got it.
It began with nothing more complicated than let's borrow this car, get out there and just experience it. The madness of Indian traffic, but then also let's find a road, let's get out of the city and stretch its legs a little bit.
Yeah, and neither of us have been to India at that point, and also Indian car manufacturers, especially DC, when it's basically a design house, doesn't have much in the way of infrastructure to help us PR-wise or anything like that. So we just took the car and then said, we'll be back later, and that's it. And it doesn't have... Yeah, it may look like a Bugatti to some eyes, but it's not a Bugatti performance-wise because it's just a 2-litre four-cylinder turbo engine from an old Megane RS in it.
Yeah, 6-speed manual though, analog, with a weirdly long gear lever. Like, you're sort of like, the ingredients here aren't terrible. It actually had carbon fibre panels.
Really?
A 2-litre turbo engine. And a 6-speed manual gearbox.
Hang on, this is sounding like the Alpine A110 they dare not build. Carbon panels that Alpine couldn't afford, manual gearbox.
Curb weight.
I mean, it's probably, a ton?
1,580 kilograms.
Whoa!
That chassis be a hefty bit of steel.
Yeah, I reckon that's because the chassis developed in-house, steel space frame, with the emphasis on keeping things beefy.
Because of the old wonky roads situation.
That we were about to throw at it accidentally later in the day.
But they did take safety very seriously because I remember that my seatbelt didn't really stop on its own reel and it had no airbags.
No airbags.
So that's an authentic analog supercar experience.
Yeah. But Ro, when we sort of ventured out onto the roads of Pune, I mean, you barely needed any safety equipment because it was just so safe out there on the roads, isn't it?
Well... we went out and India has, it booby traps its own roads, which is quite phenomenal because they put speed bumps, which you don't see. There is kind of like a mirage and then you're driving along. And Jack, I've never 50 seen...
50 mile an hour.
50 mile an hour. We just hit this absolutely rutted, horrible sleeping policeman that just flew us into the air. And then we did realise the mid-engined nature of the supercar. Yeah. But because that went up with probably about 4 foot in the air and then came down so hard, when the front then bounced afterwards, being the lighter end. But this was already...
Did we survive?
We did survive.
Here's a question. Would we have survived if we did that in a hurricane?
No, there'd have been carbon fiber everywhere.
I think the wheels would be buckled, the suspension would be shot. It would be.
And the Avanti, just rode it out?
Rode it out, mate.
But also, we had to. This was after we're telling the story in reverse now, but we already had to take a break because it was so stressful in town that I've never seen Jack actually he doesn't seem fazed by anything normally. He broke down. He just turned to threads.
I nearly cried.
Because
I wanted to cry. I only didn't cry because I didn't want, you know, Rowan to think any less.
Photograph
of
it. But it was photograph. Would have been on the cover.
And when Jack said, we'll talk about the market later, that's not the car market, which is tanking, but the actual physical market, flower market and spice market
called,
that we
do
ended.
Do you remember the name of it?
No.
Tulsi Borg. Which was the, I don't know why I've retained that.
Yeah, I have no idea why you thought I would retain that.
No,
either.
So, you know, we love a bit of punishment. So we said, look, what's the busiest part of the town? And they were like, oh, the market is on every day. It's where everyone goes. You know, it's the hub of the city, really, right? That's where we're going. So we headed to Tulsi Borg, fought through the traffic. Honestly, there's a way I described it was, it's like the way that the Indians entered junctions, whether they're on a bicycle, a moped, a car, a bus, an earth mover, it really doesn't matter. They basically just go for it with the sort of the faith that everything's going to be all right. And it kind of is. I mean, we didn't see any accidents. I'm sure horrible accidents happen all the time, but they just sort of just about avoid each other and everything just keeps on just about moving. But there were so many chances being taken left, right and centre. Oh, yeah.
There's just
scary.
So many close shaves you can have in a day before you need to go back to the hotel and have a cup of tea, which
My
is exactly what we
were
did.
Just grated, like absolutely grated. And in fact, we did make contact with a moped at one point, didn't we?
Yeah, he thought he'd have a go at the
wind
mirror.
Don't worry, he was fine. He was fine.
He was fine, the car was fine.
He basically just scratched the front bumper.
But then we headed out towards the mountains to drive it a bit quicker and also hitting speed bumps that magically appear.
That's where we hit the speed bump. I think we got a bit of... We went, oh... Finally, we've broken the shackles of the town.
Freedom, corners, scenery.
Revved it out in second gear, up to third, bang, speed.
So in the middle of their
bump.
Equivalent of like the Route Napoleon, they've got speed bumps.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
Yeah.
Anyway, but the driving of the car, dynamically, it's not going to hold a candle to the likes of a Lotus Evora or anything like that, is it?
It's, no. I'd say the steering was bizarre. The sort of... Didn't matter how much lock you had on, it was the exact same weight. So you had no idea where you were pointing. There was no loading up in the corners. The suspension, there was a lot of body roll. I mean, obviously with the raised ride height, physics dictates more body roll. But these days, more sophisticated suspension systems kind of dial that out.
I was going to say, I'm surprised that the 48-volt anti-roll system didn't trim that out, actually.
It was in the initial concept, and then it got binned on account of
price. Yeah, and the
price.
Rear steering wasn't really helping with the agility.
No, it wasn't happening. No,
the E-diff.
This was the RS model, so they stripped that all out. No, it was very basic. The interior as well, wow.
It was a proper kind of aftermarket dashboard that they put in, and the stitching around it was saggier than
it may have been real leather, but it looked faker than fake leather. Up into the hills. Look, it was, I think the way I went about describing it was it serves a purpose. If you want to show off a bit, but you want a car that's going to survive India's roads and you want a car that's not going to cost the world
40 grand, I think it is, isn't it?
40 grand for something that stops traffic.
With carbon fibre panels, 40 grand, I mean, that's...
I don't think they're not carbon fibre panels, Jack. Are you mad?
You reckon that they just put a sticker on them? A stickered weave?
Well, I don't think there was any weave anyway.
We'll get back to you on that one, readers. It's in the story. It's in the story that they are. There's probably a carbon fibre panel.
Yeah.
Anyway, they... So, I just want to go back to the market road, because when we got there, Rowan set off at pace in... 35 degree heat to get a photo. I think you ran to the top of a multi-story
car park. Yeah, I remember
car
that.
Park. Yes, sweating a lot, not looking very well. Leaving me in the middle of the market, getting engulfed by locals. Now you asked earlier, is there a sort of sense of pride? You know, like
Does it invoke patriotism because people think this is representing us against the might of the Brits, the Italians?
They
and
had
the Germans.
No idea what it was. They had no idea what it was. I mean, it's such a small company, DC Design. They've only sold a few hundred of these. Unless you're a car fan in India, you wouldn't really be aware of this. Mm. So I kind of stepped out, and the mood was kind of inquisitive, but not celebratory. Mm-hmm. And then I sort of had to stand on the sill and like sort of yell at all of them, go, it's an Indian car. It's built here in your city. And then they started getting really excited and really into it. And everyone's like, yeah, it's our car. It's our car. So the patriotism was there. They did love it.
They need a rebrand. They need to change the DC badge to something with the Indian colours on, the Indian flag. So at least they think this is actually one of us.
But it was so cool to, you know, we see these cars online and it goes, oh, you know, Vietnam's first supercar, and then you never see it again.
No.
To actually get hold of one and be able to drive it. And we weren't expecting it to be a Bugatti, obviously. But it was really cool to drive it. And
to be fair to it, like if it's, you know, photo shoots can be, you know, involve a fair amount of farting around and they can be a war of attrition on cars. And this sounds like a really hostile environment. Did it break down? Did anything fall off?
No, they all say solid, but
no, just I broke down.
you broke down, but the car held out.
Mental breakdown, no mechanicals.
Yeah.
But also, I remember we had to photograph it to get the car to car shots of where it's moving. We didn't have any support, like we've mentioned. So I just got a local taxi man. So I sat in the back of a taxi and I got Jack to follow us through. And the taxi man thought I was absolutely mental, leaning out the side of his door.
Whoa, sir, that's dangerous.
In India, they don't have health and safety.
I was going to say, health and safety is, it's not even in the dictionary out there. So the idea of, excuse me, could I pay you some money to lean out of your car while you weave through traffic? Yeah, can't see a problem with that. Yeah, absolutely, go for it. It's great looking at these pictures again, bro. You can read the story online. So if you Google Bombay Bad Boy Top Gear, you'll be taken straight.
You don't need to Google Top Gear, I don't think. I think if you just put Bombay Bad Boy, there can't be that many.
Well, you're just going to get pot noodles like from Costco and stuff like that. Pallets and pallets of them to take to your university digs. But
Do you know what I found out this morning? So I was, as I said, reading this story and had a little Google. Yeah, so old Dilip Chabria, just been in jail for a few months. He's out now. He's been acquitted.
The literal Bombay bad boy. What's he been up to?
Because
of
his company, DC Design, was implicated in alleged fraud. That apparently they were taking out loans, bank loans, buying their own cars off themselves, not paying the bank loans back. Now, he claims it was all his co-execs and co-conspirators. The DC Avanti scam. If you Google that, you can read more about it. But this is before us, readers. There was no scam going on when we were out there five years ago.
Supercar credibility, though. There's also now like a lawsuit involved around it. It kind of adds to the forbidden
excitement.
Nature.
Adds to the excitement. So yeah, he's out. He started a new company, DC2 Design.
DC2.
You see what he did?
That didn't take long at the old patent office, did it?
He had some time to think in jail. Surely he could have thought a bit wider
than
that.
That's like me changing my BBC password. Just add one number to it each time.
That's it. But DC2, well, it's Integras, and there's the plane as well, the Douglas DC2. So,
No, he's going to have another lawsuit on quickly.
For the patent office, this is going to come to him.
DC3.
But no, India was just fantastic to be around and to have a local car and a local environment. It was awesome to photograph. I'm super happy with the pictures because everyone thinks it's bizarre and not normal. So,
And this is like you were saying, this is not somewhere we travel to make stories regularly, but this was on the same trip, was it not, that you experienced a different side of Indian car culture, which is, you know, building your own car out of scrap, sort of. That was the Peugeot.
We turned a Hindustan ambassador into a Peugeot 208 GTI as a homage to the original
206 advert.
206 advert.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And we've done a whole podcast on that, so you can go and...
That's back in the feed. And there are many other podcasts about Top Gear magazine's adventures from the past, and we'll keep bringing them forward. But let us know if you can, if there's any stories that you've seen in the magazine or online, and you'd like to know a bit more about how they were made behind the scenes, give us a shout, because there's always a story behind them.
Behind the story.
Yeah. And normally something going wrong, which isn't in the story, so we can tell you about that too.
Yeah. All right. Hope that was fun. I need a lie down. All the stress is coming back to me from that drive.
I kind of want a Bombay bad boy pot noodle. It's lunchtime.
It's lunchtime. Right. We've got to go. See you in the next one.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Top Gear Magazine podcast. Hope you enjoyed that. And don't forget to subscribe, to leave us a review, to leave us a star rating.
But also check out what is in the rest of the feed, because as well as interviews, we've got our monthly behind the curtain look into the issues that we make. And also there's some new audio tidbits coming. So, like Jack says, subscribe.